How do you get more interviews? If you're looking for your next instructional leadership job, you've been applying for jobs, but you're not hearing back, you've got to get more interviews. So in this episode of Ascend Live for March 21st, 2021, we are exploring the question of what to do when you are not getting interviews. Our essential question specifically is, how can I land more interviews this hiring season without knowing the right people, you know, without the politics, without waiting around until I have more years of experience, and without trying to present myself as someone I'm not? And I've heard a lot of just angst in the online discussions among aspiring administrators and people who are looking for a new position, wondering just how can I get more interviews? Like, I feel like I should be getting the calls. I'm applying for all the jobs I see, perhaps, or I'm applying for what I think are the right jobs, and I'm just not hearing back. What can I do? Well, that, my friend, is what we are going to talk about today. And the good news is that there are really only about four things that you can do to get more interviews. If you do these four things, you will land more interviews. It's as simple as that. Number one, apply for more jobs. Number two, apply for more appropriate jobs that are a better fit for your next step. Number three, improve your application materials. I know you don't want to hear that one, but that's the one that almost everybody needs to hear. And number four, activate your network. See, when it comes down to just the simple things that are in our control, the things we can do, the things that are dependent on action that you can take, this is it. It is not a long list, right? It's not very many possibilities, and you can do all of these in the next couple of weeks. And I implore you to do so if you are ready to make a move. So let's jump right in to these four actions that you can take. The first is simply to apply for more jobs. Most people are not applying for enough jobs because they're thinking, okay, well, I don't want just any old job. I want the right job for me. I want the perfect job for me. So what they do instead of applying for all of the jobs that would be a good fit is they get too picky on the front end and they say, well, that wouldn't be the perfect fit for me, or I don't know if I'm right for that one, or I don't know if that's really where I want to work. And they rule, like, they make excuses, frankly, to not apply, right? They rule every job out in advance and only apply for a handful of positions. And I've got to tell you, this is not the kind of thing where you can just be a holdout and you can just say, well, you know, when the perfect opportunity comes around, then I'll apply. Like, when the stars align and a golden sunbeam shines on my face, then I'll feel that the moment is right and I'll apply for that job. Like, look, this is a competition, and you cannot win the tournament by saying, well, when the perfect competitor emerges, then I'll compete. No, like, you got to compete every single time. You got to show up ready to win, and simply waiting for the perfect job to come along and then saying, okay, now I'll apply for that one, is not a viable strategy. We want it to be because it's less work, right? It's a lot less work to apply for one job that's a perfect fit that you know you're going to get, which you don't really know that, but it seems like much less work to just apply for that perfect fit job. You've got to be willing to put in the effort, put in the work to compete for those jobs, even if you don't know in advance if they're going to be a perfect fit. And that's the thing about fit. You never know fit in advance. It's a myth that you can look at a school, look at an online posting and say, well, I think I would be or would not be a great fit for that position. You don't know. You don't know what they're looking for. You don't know how well you would do in that school's culture. A lot of that you're going to find out along the way. Sometimes a school that looks perfect on paper is a nightmare to work in. And sometimes a school that looks really tough on paper is just a joy to work in because of the professional climate, because of the rewarding work that you get to do to serve students. You don't know if you're going to be a good fit or successful in a job until you are actually there. So do not let fit talk you out or allow you to talk yourself out of applying for more jobs. If you want to get more interviews, this is the most important thing that you've got to understand. You've got to apply for enough jobs. If you apply for two or three jobs a year, you're going to get maybe one, maybe zero interviews, and you're not going to get the offer, right? If you want the offer, if you want multiple offers, you've got to apply for, if you're looking at the number on the screen here, you understand what I'm saying, you've got to apply for 25 to 50 jobs if possible. Now, I understand that that's not always possible. There may not be 50 job openings in your area for the type of position you're looking for in a given year. And in some cases, people understand, yeah, this is a rural area. I'm looking for a very specialized position. Like if you're looking for a central office position, there may not be that many openings in any given year. So it may be a multi-year search process. And if you're happy where you are and you're ready to move anytime, but you know, you're just going to kind of see what happens, that's okay. But if you are ready to make a move, if you are in a major metro area, there is no reason you should not be applying for, yes, I'm serious, 25 to 50 jobs. Now, that does not mean that you should apply for 25 to 50 jobs and get zero interviews and think everything's fine, right? If you've already done that and you've not gotten very many interviews, stay tuned. I'll give you some numbers in just a moment to know where the problem is and what you should do to address it. One possibility is that you're not applying for the right jobs. If you are not getting interviews, you may be skipping a step that you might not even know is there, right? In almost every area, there is kind of an established and accepted stepping stone role into admin, right? Like if you want to become a high school principal, pretty much everybody knows you can't just be a classroom teacher, wake up one morning, decide, hey, I earned my certification last year, I'm going to be a high school principal, apply for the job and get it, right? That's very unlikely to happen because almost all high school principals spend several years as assistant principals first, right? It's a logical, completely normal stepping stone role to become an assistant principal before a principal. That one's clear, junior high school, middle school, whatever. Everybody knows, become an assistant principal, then become a principal. It's pretty obvious, right? But what a lot of people don't know is that there are stepping stone roles in between classroom teacher and assistant principal. And if you are in a place where there really is no assistant principal role, like a lot of elementary schools just don't have assistant principals, there are other roles that can serve to be a step in the right direction. And I'll tell you personally, for me, I was in elementary school, basically dean of students. It was called head teacher, and it was a role that it was kind of expected that anybody in that role was planning to become a principal. It's kind of expected that you weren't going to stay in that role forever. And I've heard in a lot of places, like you're really not even allowed to stay in those stepping stone roles forever because they want new people coming in with energy, with fresh ideas, willing to work hard and make a difference and then move on. And those positions are created specifically to be a leadership pipeline. And I love when those positions exist. But even if there's not a position that is created expressly to serve as a leadership pipeline, you've got to figure out what is de facto serving as the leadership pipeline. If you're in Texas, it's likely that there are instructional facilitator positions. In a lot of regions of Texas, there are instructional leadership facilitators or instructional facilitators. In other places, there are instructional coaches. In a lot of places, there are deans. In some cases, the athletic director, this is not my favorite stepping stone job, but in some cases, the athletic director is seen as a step along that path. And the thing is, this is local. This is a local pattern that you are going to have to figure out for your area. For the job you want versus the job you have, is that the logical next step or is there a typical role in between? Again, for middle school and high school, often the AP is between the you know, the classroom and the principalship, but there's probably also a dean job or some sort of other administrator or quasi-administrator job in between being a classroom teacher and being an AP. And sometimes you can get a little bit closer without leaving the classroom. Like you can be a department chair. I was the department chair, I think starting in my second year of teaching because the other guy retired. And that makes a difference. As small a difference as that is to be the department chair versus just another teacher on the team, it does make a little bit of a difference. So get whatever leadership roles you can, you know, serve on committees, gain that experience, you know, any little bit helps. Work on summer school, help with, you know, different programs, serve on district committees, anything like that, that can put you out there a little bit as a you know, a candidate for those formal stepping stone roles, go for it. But the main thing that you need to do here is ask around in your area, right? So ask the people who have gotten the job that you want. Ask the current assistant principals, hey, what job did you have before you were the assistant principal? Because I want to gain the right experience. I know this might be a big leap for me to do, go from what I'm doing now straight into an AP position. What should I do in between? Again, summer school is a good one. You know, any kind of additional responsibility can help, but figure out what people typically do in your area. And a lot of people don't like to hear that because everybody says, well, you know, that stepping stone job is not really what I ultimately want. I ultimately want to be an AP, so I'm just going to go straight for that. And then my reaction to that is, you know, like, that would be great, but most of your competitors, your competition for those AP jobs, if they're already in those stepping stone roles, the bottom line is they're more qualified. And you've got to put yourself in the same position to be the best qualified candidate at your level, right? There are always going to be people who are making a lateral move and have already had experience at the level that you're trying to move up to. And you've got to use the experience that you have to demonstrate that you're a, you know, the strongest possible candidate. And if you're actually two levels below them, well, that's a situation you don't want to be in. So apply for the stepping stone role, figure out what that would be in your particular area. And keep in mind that your employer may not actually have that role, even if it's one that typically is a stepping stone. It may be that your district doesn't have any dean of students jobs. So you may have to go to another district and say, hey, I would be great, you know, great for this. I would, you know, I'm going to work in this other district that isn't where I currently work, just to gain that experience at that level if you need to, right? Certainly, if the stepping stone role is missing, then that means it's possible to go straight from where you are to where you want to be. But don't be afraid to look outside your district, because sometimes other districts have a better and more intentional leadership pipeline than your district. And there's no reason you can't take advantage of that and get in that pipeline if your own district's pipeline is clogged or non-existent as far as funneling leaders up into those key positions. All right, so that is number two, apply for more appropriate leadership jobs in addition to applying for enough of those jobs. Number three, improve your application materials. And this, again, is the one that people don't want to hear, but they may be the problem. Your application materials and their quality may be the culprit if you're not getting interviews. So I use the 20% rule as a rule of thumb to say, you know, without even looking at your application materials, I can tell you if they're good enough. If you are getting interviews, your application materials are good enough. And specifically, if we want to be quantitative about this, if you are getting interviews more than 20% of the time, your application materials are good enough. Keep applying, start practicing for interviews, but don't sweat it if you're getting those interviews. And this is a weird number for people to intuit, right? Like 80% failure is the same as 20% success. And we think 80% success is minimal rather than the other way around. Like the 20% success rate is hard for a lot of people to accept. But you know, if you're getting 20% of your applications to result in an interview, your applications are probably fine. But that also means if you've applied for 20 jobs already and you've got zilch, you've got zero interviews so far, something is wrong with your application materials. And I say that not as an insult. I say that without ever having looked at your application materials. I can just tell if you are not getting interviews 20% of the time, you've got room for improvement. You've got work to do on your application materials. And I implore you to take me at my word on that and not try to overthink it, not try to come up with alternate explanations for the fact that you have subpar application materials. I've seen all kinds of excuses. I've seen all kinds of blaming other factors like politics and nepotism and thinking you don't have enough experience. Oh, I just need to get more experience. I'm like, you already have 20 years of experience at this level. What? How much more experience do you think you need? I've seen people say, well, it's just not the right time. It's just not in the cards for me. You know, people blame tarot cards and destiny and God and Satan and the universe and the timing. And it's like, at some point, my friend, you have to take responsibility. If you are not getting interviews over and over and over again, don't blame all these factors. It is not the universe sending you a message. It is just your documents aren't very good, right? And that's both good news and bad news. It's good news because it's something you can change. It's bad news because it's something you have to change, right? The stars are not going to align and rapidly change your results, right? You are not going to suddenly start getting interviews if you haven't been getting interviews unless you make a change. But you can do it. You can rapidly improve your interview materials, your application materials. The only other possibility, again, is that you're not applying for appropriate jobs, right? Either your application materials aren't very good, or you're applying for jobs that would be like skipping a level, right? If you're trying to go straight from classroom teacher to high school principal without ever having been an AP, okay, yeah, then that would be the problem. But if you're applying for appropriate jobs and not getting interviews 20% of the time, it's the application materials. So specifically, your cover letter, your resume, and by the way, the cover letter is not a formality. It is not simply a piece of paper that covers the resume. Your cover letter is the single most important document in your application because it makes the argument. Your cover letter is an evidence-based five-paragraph argumentative essay that says that I deserve an interview. And if you don't make that argument, if you don't make it well, if you don't support that argument with evidence and clear reasoning, you're not going to get an interview. So make sure that cover letter is doing its job. Make sure your resume is top notch. Of course, if the district asks its own application questions, then of course you've got to do a good job on those. Save your answers in a Google Doc so you're not starting from scratch every time. You can really work on those and revise them. And then the last piece is one that a lot of people forget about because often it's not required, is recommendation letters. You can include recommendation letters in your application materials simply by making a PDF with your resume and then your reference list and then all your recommendation letters in one file. So they ask for your resume. You upload the file there and boom, they've got your recommendation letters as well. Just a little trick to get that in, even if they're not asking for it. And you won't get in trouble for including recommendation letters, but do include them. So that is where you've got to focus. We're not going to break each of those down in this episode, but I just wanted to really zero in on the application material, like the specific assets that you're turning in that have got to be better if you want to get interviews more of the time. Now, there's one more thing you can do, and this one is incredibly powerful, and that is to activate your professional network, your mentors, your colleagues, whoever you did your admin internship with, or maybe you're doing your admin internship right now. The people who will serve as your references are more than people who can answer the phone when you're about to be offered a job and say, yes, Justin's doing a great job, you should hire him for this position. Like, answering the call for a reference check is not the first time they should be helping you out. They can start advocating for you right now, even if no jobs are posted, even if it's weeks or months before the phone ever rings for a reference check call. You can get them in your corner helping you by helping you figure, here are a couple of questions you can ask them. They can help you with all of these things. They can help you figure out what your strengths are, like what you should emphasize in your cover letter. They can help you figure out which jobs to even apply for, right? They might know of jobs that you've not even thought of that would be a perfect stepping stone role for you and a perfect fit. They can advise you on which experiences you should seek out. Hey, what committees should I serve on? What projects should I volunteer for? What should I do to give myself the experience I need to be ready for that next level of work? They can help keep an eye out for open positions. I just got an email the other day from my principal certification program that I graduated from in 2007, and it was job openings. So I passed some of those on to some people in my network, and I said, hey, you might be interested in this. This is in your area. Your mentors can do that kind of thing for you because they have a network that's bigger than yours, most likely. And if you make them part of your network and say, hey, will you keep an eye out for me if you see any positions that would be a good fit? And can you put in a good word for me? Can you call up your buddies and say, hey, Justin's going to be applying. You really ought to give him a close look. Ask for that, and they'll be happy to do it. And all of that is stuff that you can ask before you actually, need them to answer a reference check phone call. And of course, ask for a recommendation letter, ask for a draft recommendation letter, and it'll be easy to ask for changes if you want to help maybe triangulate, or if you want them to kind of speak to specific issues or help triangulate with things you said in your cover letter, ask for a draft, and that makes it nice and easy. So I hope that I have made the case that there are things you can do. You can activate your network, you can apply for more jobs, you can apply for the right jobs, and find those stepping stone roles that will get you closer to where you ultimately want to be. And ultimately, what I hope that I inspire you to do a bit is improve your application assets. This is the part that is the most work, but it's also the part that you control. So if you are a member of the Instructional Leadership Association, if you have the Ascend Masterclass, we've got lots for you. We've got the cover letter generator spreadsheet. We've got the resume blueprint training and resume guide, 16-page guide that will walk you through how to organize your resume so that the most important information is clear to the reader. And we've got the cover letter training and cover letter generator spreadsheet that will walk you through precisely how to write a killer cover letter that will get you in the yes pile for interviews. If you are not a member, I wanted to make that an option for you here and really make it an unbeatable deal. So if you've not yet joined me, we've had dozens and dozens of people join during this hiring season. If you're on the fence, or if this is your first time coming across this and you've not had the chance to join yet, I want to highly encourage you to jump on this, because this is just hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of my best training, my newest training, and it's the same advice that people have been paying a goodly sum of money for in terms of my personal help for the past couple of years. For the past 5 years, I've been helping people. And this year I decided I'm just going to turn all of my advice into training that anyone can apply. So we've got a new bundle that we're calling the Improve Your Application Bundle. If you go to principalcenter.com/application, you will see, you don't have to fill out an application. You can just register for the Improve Your Application Bundle for $8. And what that'll do is it'll give you a 14-day free trial of the Instructional Leadership Association, which is our main program that gives you all of our core trainings on the job search and just about everything else related to instructional leadership. So I can't wait to share that with you. But here's what you get inside that bundle. You get the Ascend Leadership Journal, which is our 100 plus page PDF journal that will walk you through the practice interview questions and help you keep track of all your experience and figure out what stories you're going to tell in interviews. So highly recommend that as interview prep and getting ready for being called in for actual interviews. But to get the interviews, we want to focus on the resume and the cover letter. And I've also got a little diagnostic that can help you further zoom in on the right place to focus. But as far as improving your application materials, it really comes down to the resume and the cover letter. And I've got detailed training, detailed guidance. I've got a 1 hour training on the resume blueprint and over an hour training on the cover letter, as well as step-by-step tools. I've got a giant slide deck that walks you through tons of examples and the cover letter generator spreadsheet that will help you crank out an incredible cover letter in just a few minutes. So you can get that at principalcenter.com/application. And so piece by piece, you've got the diagnostic that I've talked about in the past on this show. That'll give you some very specific places to focus. You get the Ascend Leadership Journal. You get the cover letter training and full slide deck. We don't often provide the slide deck, but we did for this one because it's very detailed. You get the spreadsheet, which I show you how to use in the cover letter training, and that will allow you to just fill in a few fields, pick a few sentence starters for each section, and fill in your own evidence, and very quickly generate a very high quality cover letter. We've had people go through this in an hour, 2 hours, and just come away with an incredibly high quality cover letter. So you can get all of that at principalcenter.com/application, including a 14-day free trial of the Instructional Leadership Association. Give that a try, take that for a spin, and you will get more interviews. I'm Justin Bader. This is Ascend Live, and I will catch you next time. Take care.